There are two tracks of euthanasia under the current Trudeau maid service regime. So the first track is if you have a terminal illness, you're nearing death, nearing natural death, you can ask to have that sped along by getting a lethal injection. That can happen immediately. So that could happen the same day. Like there's no requirement for a waiting period, for time to reflect, time to consult other people, friends, family. You literally could have, if you're in the hospital, the doctor could proposition you with this, and if you qualified, you got the proper approval, you could have it done in that hour. Okay, so that's the one track. The second track is open to anyone with a disability where that disability vexes them in some way. They just find it, intolerable, and it's a very subjective thing. There's no actual measurement here. There's nothing objective. So that disability, it could be maybe they're blind, maybe they're deaf, maybe they're in a wheelchair. Or maybe they just have asthma. Or maybe they just have, my daughter has epilepsy. Maybe that's the disability. I mean, we're going to get to the point where the Nazis got under Hitler with their T4 euthanasia program, where consent isn't even required, because we're going to be killing people because, you know what? There are medical health reasons we just need to do that. It's best for them. We got to end their suffering.
Yeah, thank you, David. And I want to thank you very much. I know I told you before the show began, I might start a little bit late. And just to let our viewers know that from now on, so our guest no longer has to wait, we're going to start the Empower Hour at 4:30 Pacific Standard Time, or it's daylight savings time now, however you want to do that. And then we will be doing the weekly news update after the Empower Hour. So I think that will be a better process. And so I'm really excited to have David on the show tonight because, as you mentioned, this has been a year and a half since we've had you on. I've sort of called this the culture of death, and the global agenda, as we know, is to cull society and to lessen the population, and they're hitting us from all sides, David. And of course, vaccine injuries, that's documented 17 million deaths worldwide. And then we're mutilating and harming our children. And so they're being sterilized and not having children. And then, of course, you've got this diabolical suicide. I don't want to call it suicide assist. Yeah, suicide assistance, I guess, where the numbers are staggering as to how many people have actually opted for assisted suicide since Trudeau commenced this. So, where do you want to start in this conversation?
Well, first of all, I think I always need to kind of reintroduce the topic every time I talk about it. I was just giving a talk about this topic just a little while ago down in Plaster Rock, New Brunswick. Had a group of people at a church. I was kind of informing them about this issue, and one of the ladies came up to me after my presentation with this expression on her face of just total shock. And she said, I didn't even know this was happening. I had no idea, you know, and here we are, 2024, this has been going on for 8 years. But there are still people who don't even know what's happening because, you know, the Trudeau government, they've put it out there under this very sweet sounding euphemism, maid. I mean, who doesn't want maid service? I've got two teenage kids. I could use maid service in my house. I mean, it sounds good, you know, and they say, well, it's medical. It's to help you as you die. Well, people think, well, okay, that's good. But it's not that. Even the term assisted suicide, it's really not that, because 97% of what takes place in Canada is not assisted suicide. It is homicide. Okay. So what's happening is a doctor is administering a lethal injection and killing the patient. The patient is giving consent. Of course, that consent could be slightly pressured or more coerced. Family putting pressure on grandma because they'd like to see grandma's inheritance. A healthcare system being pushed to its limits. Not enough treatment options available. Or just from the culture saying, you know, your life is coming to an end. It's time for you to kick off. And what's happening is it's homicide. So the doctors and nurses are actually propositioning this. And because it's coming from a medical expert, a professional, and the person who is the patient is in a position where they're impressionable, where they're vulnerable, and they're saying, okay, well, it sounds okay, medical assistance and dying. Maybe I'm drawing near death. Maybe I'm disabled. Okay. And it's homicide. They're killing them. 97% of the cases, only 3% are assisted suicide, where they're giving the person the medication and the person is self-administering. That's a very small number. So it makes it kind of unique, but it is homicide. So this is happening. This has been happening since 2016. And what started off under the premise of being very, very, it's supposed to be rare, very unusual. It's supposed to be something for only the most extreme cases. Originally, it was only for those who were, you know, terminally ill and close to death. And so it was supposed to be this unusual provision. In the first year, there were 1,000, just over 1,000 people who were killed. And then it just has been multiplying. It basically doubled in the second year, doubled again. Every year, more and more and more. The last year of statistics, we were up to 13,241. And that was 2022. And in 2023, we don't have the official statistics yet, but we're estimating it's going to be over 16,000. These are murders, okay? This is killing people on purpose. And it's not, these are not all people nearing death. They're not all dying necessarily. Some of these people are just poor. Some of them are in difficult circumstances, have some sort of disability, and they qualify. And because there are doctors who are happy to qualify them.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. Who are the people that are opting in to have this procedure, this end of life procedure done? I mean, I mean, I know how I feel about the last 4 years of COVID, and I have been fully engaged in this fight. But we know, for instance, that it has thrown people into such despair and depression. And so isn't it just so timely to be expanding or attempting to expand euthanasia for people who, for instance, are depressed?
Right. I mean, so there are two tracks of euthanasia under the current Trudeau maid service regime. So the first track is if you have a terminal illness, you're nearing death, nearing natural death, you can ask to have that sped along by getting a lethal injection. And that can happen immediately. So that could happen the same day. Like there's no requirement for a waiting period, for time to reflect, time to consult other people, friends, family. You literally could have, you know, if you're in the hospital, the doctor could proposition you with this. And if you qualified, you got the proper approval, you could have it done in that hour. Okay. So that's the one track. The second track is open to anyone with a disability where that disability vexes them in some way. They just find it, you know, intolerable. And it's a very subjective thing. There's no actual measurement here. There's nothing objective. So that disability, it could be there. Maybe they're blind. Maybe they're deaf. Maybe they're in a wheelchair. Or maybe they just have asthma. Or maybe they just have, you know, my daughter has epilepsy. Maybe that's the disability. And it's vexing to them. So they can qualify. And in that track, they are given a short waiting period, and then they can be euthanized. And so far, that's bad enough. But the Trudeau government has wanted to expand it. And in fact, in the Liberal government, there are certain people who have always wanted this to go much, much further, including David Lametti, the former justice minister. And one of the things they had written into the law was to expand it to include mental illness. So if you can imagine that, someone who's depressed could qualify, someone who's got anxiety, someone who has an addiction, you know, maybe alcoholism, drug addiction, all kinds of people have different mental struggles. And originally this was to include them so that they could qualify if they find their life too difficult with their mental illness. Now, the question is, can a mentally ill person really consent to something like this because they're mentally ill? They're not thinking straight. Well, that doesn't seem to matter to the Trudeau government. And this was going to go into effect March 17th, 2023. It was pushed ahead a year because of all the outcry, thanks to people like you and thanks to many other organizations across Canada. And now it's been pushed ahead again to 2027, March 17th. They're hoping that by then, either we'll stop talking about this issue, or people will keep getting desensitized or whatever, brainwashed. But that's the next step. But beyond that, they're talking about child euthanasia. You know, the Quebec Pediatric Association, I believe. I'd have to make sure I have that right. No, Quebec College of Physicians. They were calling for the murder of sick children under age one. And other people are pushing for euthanasia made for all children, as long as the doctor believes the child is able to give consent, whatever that means. And of course, the parental input is not required. That's going to be the next step. And then beyond that, of course, I mean, this whole idea of consent is such a sham. I mean, people who are vulnerable, who are sick, who are maybe mentally ill, who feel pressure from family, from society, from the healthcare system that's highly inadequate, how do you have consent? I mean, we're going to get to the point where the Nazis got under Hitler with their T4 euthanasia program, where consent isn't even required, because we're going to be killing people because, you know what? There are medical health reasons. We just need to do that. It's best for them. We got to end their suffering.
Right.
It's going to be decided for them, just like a lot of other medical treatments.
In the call to action that I did this week, I included this Dr. Death suicide pod coffin, and it was named the sarcopod after an ancient stone coffin in Egypt. And this guy has been dubbed the Dr. Death due to his euthanasia activism. And it says here that he says his aim behind creating this device is to remove any kind of psychiatric review from the process of suicide and allow individuals to control the process themselves. And you step into this pod, and within a minute, the toxic gases are administered and you are killed. And it's just like you can order online this pod. And in Sweden, who have it really, it's kind of creepy what Sweden's been into as far as celebrating altars of, demonic types of temples and gods, and they've just gone down a really bad path in Sweden in Switzerland. And I'm hoping that some of this will be turned around, but in Switzerland, this has been legal assisted suicide or, you know, killing people since 1942. And so with this advancing, thank you, with this advancing so rapidly in Canada, will this pretty soon be an option that the Trudeau government is going to make available? I can't even believe these death pods. And when I came across it, when I was doing my research, there was actually one image of a lady. I forget what she had on her. She was in there, an elderly lady, and she was waving. And inside, everything inside of me just went, this is so evil. And the Bible had said, you know, kind of in the end times, and sometimes I don't know if we're in revival or end times, but a lot of people are coming to the Lord because they see the evil, but it said what is good will be evil spoken of and what is evil will be spoken good. And this is just pure all kinds of evil. So can you tell me, you mentioned Quebec. Tell me about what's going on with Quebec.
Well, it's just unbelievable. They have a death wish in Quebec. It's very ironic because this is the province that supposedly is so proud of its culture and heritage and language and their rights and their identity, yet they have the highest euthanasia rate in Canada, and not only that, in the world. Let your mind wrap around this fact here. In 2023, 7.3% of all deaths in Quebec were lethal injection deaths. So of all the people who died, like over 7% were actual homicides. And this is a trend that has been just growing more and more. And I don't know, it's so hard to believe. In Quebec, which was once a Roman Catholic bastion, they have embraced, as they turned away from God, and they've embraced secularism, they've embraced death as well.
Yeah, it seems to just go hand in hand, doesn't it? When a country has turned their back on God and they go to secularism, and then next thing you know, rituals come in. People don't even realize they're rituals. Death always follows, the abortion rates go through the roof, and then things as nefarious as murdering people on demand, it seeps into a country and the whole thing falls apart. Morality and ethical governance is key to the success of a nation and honoring biblical values. I just see it, David, falling apart in so many Western nations where they've been attacked. And the breakdown happened because the messaging was, oh, as Christians, if you don't accept this, you're unloving or you're intolerant. Well, look at what that messaging has got us. This is the mess that happens when we turn our back on God. And so I just want to get that in there. Do you have any response to that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this is where we're going. Just an interesting fact. I was looking at the use of lethal injection and murder in Canada, legal murder. Back in 1976 was the last time we allowed murder legally, because we had capital punishment. And that was allowed for criminal. And I was looking at that, and I was 2 years old in 1976. So now you know my age. And it's interesting because we banned that because we said we value human life. We respect the sanctity of all life. And even a criminal, even a mass murderer, we in Canada, we want to say that, you know, we respect your life and we can't take your life. Whether you agree or disagree with that stand for criminals, that's fine. But that's what Canada decided in 76. And then in 2016, they said, now we can take your life, but not criminals. No, innocent, vulnerable people who are sick and dying or disabled, we can take your life. And interestingly, I turned 42 in 2016. So it's 40 years, 40 years, this biblical generation 40 years, how that has shifted as we have turned our backs on God and on the Bible in this country. In one generation, go from protecting life, even criminals, to taking lives most vulnerable. Of course, we've had abortion since the 60s, and now at the other end of the spectrum, we're taking human life as well for those dying and sick.
Yeah, it's a very good point. In the last couple of weeks, I'd been on the weekly news update. I had reported down in the States how Idaho had stipulated that for anybody that has sexually assaulted a child under the age of 12, they've brought back the death penalty for that individual for pedophiles. Florida has already done that. In a school, I believe it was in Missouri, they've said, not in a school, but Missouri has said that if a teacher, even a teacher, teaches about conversion therapy in the schools, it's a criminal offense and they'll be put on a sex offenders list. And so Canadian government is so woke and taking us down this spiral. It's time to get people elected into positions that are going to counter all of this. And just talking about it's not bad enough that they're killing people, but let's talk about the so-called harvest organ or the harvesting of the organs of the people that they're killing. It's become big business. And yeah, I saw a report. Sorry, go ahead.
We're here in New Brunswick where I live. We're on the cutting edge, I hate to say it.
Is that right, in the harvesting of organs?
Yes, for euthanasia patients, yes.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we have our Vitalité Health Network, and they were blazing the trail, being one of the first to incorporate live organ harvesting for those who qualify for MAID, which is, you get lost in the jargon, but what it means is, you cut the heart out of the person so you can use it for someone else. And that's how they die. That's what we're talking about here.
Well, this is the purpose of it. Before they wanted people, and I don't know if it's in Nova Scotia as well, but they want you to mark on your driver's license that, you approve to them using your organs if you would die. And it's like, I'm not even going to put that on my driver's license anymore because they'll probably do me in order to, take my organs. And in December 2022, the American Journal of Transplantation reported that Canada is now the global epicenter for harvesting organs from patients who have been euthanized. The medical practice is known as organ donation after euthanasia. It's like ODE. And there were 286 world instances of ODE, and nearly half of them were Canadian. And the Canadian government is making money on this. So, this is so criminal. And we already know that Justin Trudeau should be in jail for multiple offenses. We talk about, people have talked about bring back the guillotine because of the massive crimes against humanity. And David, my concern is here, we had a news report in Alberta about the father who is fighting to keep his 27-year-old daughter alive, who lives at home with him. I believe she has autism. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, and so she applied for it. She doesn't qualify in any way. They can't provide medical information that she qualifies for it. And February 1st, she was scheduled to be murdered. And he put an injunction in place. And so he's fighting for his daughter's lives. I want our viewers to let this sink in. Because what the government has done in the last 4 years, he isolated the elderly. Can you imagine where they're begging for death because they have no contact with their family? He has divided families over the vaccine and masking and social distancing and all the rest of the charade. And now families aren't talking to one another. So I spoke to an elderly lady the other day, and she helped to raise her grandchildren, and they loved her and she loved them. And now she's alone. And would she end up being given the opportunity to be, to accept this? And the other one that really hurts my heart so deeply, they all do, but is our youth. And so they're indoctrinating them in the school system. They're planting the seed, their seeds to question their identity, their God-given identity as either male or female. And then they end up going down a path. Many, many children are going down a path to have medical mutilation done. They're getting into their 20s and they're realizing their life is over to them until, unless they get the help to recover and move on. But girls have no, you know, hundreds, thousands of young women in Canada no longer have breasts. They can't nurse children. Many of them are sterilized. And so they're afraid to, you know, jump off that four-story building. Will they have that opportunity to opt in to this? And David, just gives me chills.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, this is where we're headed. If we get that mental illness qualification adopted in 2027, I mean, of course, that will allow for euthanasia for anyone who has any type of mental disturbance at all, like depression, anxiety, whatever it is. And, you know, it won't take long for the addition of teenagers and children to be incorporated in as well. Is the Liberal government, what they've been saying, now that we've let the rabbit out of the hat with this whole thing, they're like, well, it's not fair if we exclude certain people. We can't exclude certain people. it's discriminatory. So they're using that, that ridiculous argument to say, well, we got to qualify more people for killing, you know, so more killable classes of people. And it just, if they don't do it legislatively, the courts will. The Trudeau-appointed courts are certainly going to open this up very soon. So, I mean, no one's going to be safe. And the way they've structured it, you go to, you know, you get your, you get, you go find a doctor who will approve you, and you can shop around. So if you can, like this 27-year-old lady with autism, you know, she had one doctor approve, a second one who would not approve, and she went chopped around and found another one who will. She got the two approvals she needed, and then the way this is structured is the courts are not supposed to intervene. No, you just get those approvals. It's supposed to be confidential. It's medical, right? So it's like, you know, if you're going for, you know, some sort of surgery or something, some personal medical treatment, maybe you're getting a mole removed, I don't know, and you don't want people to know. Well, that's the way they frame this. No one's supposed to know. It's supposed to be between you and the doctor, not even parents, not even relatives, not even your spouse, nothing. So, you know, I can picture a teenage girl, you know, maybe, you know, her boyfriend has dumped her. She's been struggling with her identity. She goes into a deep depression. And, yeah, okay, she goes and goes talk to her doctor. Her doctor is very maid-friendly. And she gets a referral, and there, she's going to be euthanized. And her parents may not have even known. I know one lady, her son was euthanized, and they didn't tell her, you know? And that this has happened. Even now, this is happening for, older people, 18+, but it's going to be happening for those younger very soon as well.
Yeah, I had one of the members of our team a year ago Christmas, so that would be 2022 December, a husband and wife decided to do it together. And then last year, she had another elderly friend who decided to do it. And it's just, I think, more prolific than people understand, and that there are those that are going to abuse the system because these doctors who approve this think they're being compassionate. I will go out of my mind. I mean, I will go to the ends of the earth fighting if anybody were to harm one of my family members in such a way. And, you know, it's frightening to know. So I think that as we've seen in this situation, they're expanding it even though it hasn't even been approved. And on that note, I wanted to ask you, you said something interesting to me prior to the show starting about Health Canada and these drugs. Will you fill us in on that?
Yeah, I did some research last year about this because, you know, coming out of COVID, there's all this, you know, push that things have to be approved by Health Canada. And once it's approved, then of course, you know, it's recommended and it's pushed on everyone. And if it's not approved, you know, during COVID, I mean, doctors were told, well, don't use ivermectin, don't do this, don't do that. These aren't approved treatments. There's only the vax, and that's it, because that's approved. So I thought, well, what about euthanasia? We have this. This has been going on since 2016. It requires drugs. Are they approved? So I actually contacted Health Canada. I did my own investigative reporting on this, and I talked to someone there, and I've got it in writing. None of the drugs are approved for euthanasia. Drugs that are used are not approved. They have no approval. They have no recommendations. There's no direction. There's nothing from Health Canada that says these drugs are approved for MAID. There's nothing from Health Canada that says this is how you should use them. This is the correct way for this age of person, for this condition of person, nothing. So what these medical murderers are doing right now is they're just killing people however they want to. And they're doing it, I guess they're creating their own concoctions and figuring it out themselves. And I don't know. I know I've heard stories that some people aren't dying and they have to try again and again to kill them because it doesn't work the first time. And there's a lot of suffering and it's atrocious. But I mean,
that would be terrifying.
Of course, I don't want anything to be approved, but whether it's approved by Health Canada or not, it's still wrong. But it's very interesting. I think that people at Health Canada understand this is not a good look on us to if we approved euthanasia drugs and said how to use them and provided some testing data, that would look pretty bad because, yeah, it's killing people.
I'm shocked. Like, how do doctors get away with this? You would think that there were legal actions transpiring and taking place. And I think that's where that's going to end up heading anyways. I really do believe. But hopefully, we're really having an impact nationwide and getting new people elected into office. And the grassroots movement is growing, not just with Campaign Life Coalition and Action for Canada, but, you know, people throughout COVID. That's the one thing we can be thankful for, this whole COVID fraud, is that it woke Canadians up and more Canadians are waking up so that they understand that there was far more issues pre-COVID that were destroying our rights and freedoms than, you know, just the shutting down of society. That's not where this all started. I met David pre-COVID. Him and I were working like crazy on different things on behalf of our kids, on behalf of the family. And so we're just like everybody, to our viewers, like, welcome aboard. We need you in the fight. And we really need you getting involved with what it is that we're trying to accomplish here. And one of the greatest things that we can do, I know Campaign Life Coalition, you guys also vet people that are running for office. I know it's a lot of times it's based on their policy on abortion, but it's got to be really broad on how do they feel about immigration? How do they feel about the COVID-19? Are they willing to pull out of the UN? There's so many issues that we need our elected officials well-versed on and committed to undo and secure our future and our future for our children. And so David has been one of those people on the front line doing that. I know that I'm trying to remember who it was that put this article out. Oh, Real Women of Canada had recently done something on the euthanasia as well. And it was quite lengthy, and they're talking about, and I agree, I'm just reading a headline here, and then they go in with a paragraph, but eliminating the social stigma of euthanasia. And I know that they're, one of the reasons they're doing it is based on the Charter of Rights and Freedoms of these people, Section 7, the right to life, liberty, and security of the person. I mean, their marketing campaigns have been brilliant. You know, because people have bought in, a lot of people have bought into it, hook, line, and sinker. And the way the government has done, has commenced this military psychological warfare against Canadians is through heart issues, compassion issues, right? If we could just tap into your compassion, you know, this person is in stage 4 cancer. Shouldn't they have the right, you know, we're just going to put them out of their misery? While they open the door, they slip everything else in.
Exactly. And the thing is that we have drugs to treat pain, and we have ways, there's a whole palliative care you know, we know how to take care of people. I mean, my mother went through palliative care in her last days, and they were wonderful. We don't, these arguments, like people are going to be in pain and suffering. There are ways to treat it. You know, when we say we don't want to see euthanasia, what we're saying, we're not saying we want people to be kept on, you know, ventilators for years or artificially prolonged in their life. We're saying that we just want people to be allowed to die naturally when God calls to them, and that they should be treated with care, compassion, and proper medication up to that point, to keep them in comfort and hopefully as pain-free as possible. But I mean, it's a brainwashing agenda right now, a program of I mean, I just got an email from a gentleman who's, I believe, a Camping Life supporter, Camping Life Coalition supporter. And I got an email from him just this week, you know, and he was telling me the story of his wife. And his wife had brain cancer. I'm not going to give any names, but, you know, she was, you know, going through suffering. And, you know, he was telling me how they brought in the maid doctor and they gave her a lethal injection, and the family was all around, and she was killed. And I was reading this, and I was trying to understand why he's telling me this, because it didn't sound very compassionate. It sounded very cold. It sounded very like it, but it's like I'm hearing this from people who are want to somehow justify themselves and say, well, we did this. It was her choice. And so that must make it okay. And but it just because people are doing it doesn't make it okay, and doesn't mean it's the best. And what was missed out was, you know, maybe there were some moments that were missed out in this person's life and in the life of the loved ones that now are lost forever. And I mean, what does that say about a person? You might say the person is, you know, we respected their wishes. They wanted to be killed. Well, but are you really respecting them when you're killing them instead of caring for them and respecting the image of God in them and saying, you know what, your life has meaning right up to the end, and we love you and cherish you, and we want you here as long as God wants you here, and we're, you know, we're not going to stretch it out any longer than needs to be, but you know, we love you and we care for you, and we're gonna just cherish every moment. I mean, I didn't detect that in this letter, that this email I got. I just, but people are being brainwashed into thinking this is okay, this is acceptable, and this is normal. This is the normal way. And think, you know, we're only 8 years into this MAID program. Just 8 years. Okay, this has happened so fast. No other country in the world has gone so fast so far, you know. Even in the States, there are a few states that allow assisted suicide. Okay, that's where the doctor gives you something and you take it. No state allows euthanasia in the States. California is trying. But I mean, we are going so far so fast. What is this going to look like in 4 years from now, another 8 years? I mean, we're going to have like where people just go into the hospital to die whenever they want to. You know?
Well, and what they're doing as well is funeral homes. It's reported funeral homes are offering euthanasia. And
Yeah.
so you can go in and be euthanized, put in your coffin, and you know that it's a done deal. I guess you get a package deal. And that's what these basically what this pod from Switzerland is, the death pod. And that's it's just a different way of heading in that direction. We're there already if funeral homes are doing this. And it just like a light bulb came on when I put those two things together. And it's
Yeah,
like we
you can
need
skip the
to put a
hospital.
stop to it.
Just skip the hospital. Just go right to the
Yeah.
funeral home. I mean, I know a church that does this, a United Church, which I would say is
Oh,
not a
United.
church because they're doing this. You know,
Yeah,
you right in the
United
church, right
Church
in
is
the
off the
sanctuary.
reserve. They haven't been part of the Christian faith for a very long time, so don't be deceived by that. Everything they're doing. I wanted to also say, you know, it's for us as Christians as well. we have people that are electing to go and have these lethal injections and be murdered. And the problem is that God is the one that ordains the time of somebody's death. And especially if that person's an unbeliever, what happens when they die and they're standing before God? And if they'd lived another 2 years and worked through this, somebody may have ministered to them and they came to a saving grace in Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's why God says we don't have the right to take somebody's life because their salvation is at hand. One thing I'll mention is my grandma, she loved the Lord so much, but she was 91 years old and she was, you know, old and her organs were breaking down and just that end of life. And my aunts, my mom and I, we took turns going into the home where she was and holding her hand. And I can remember, I think I was around mid 30s and there's the smell of death. There is something that happens when somebody is passing, but I sang Amazing Grace to her because it was her favorite song. I was there comforting her. She was never alone and she loved the Lord and we were there till she took her last breath. That's what family does. That's what we should be doing. But because the government has divided so many people and made care homes so easy to pass our relatives, our elderly off to somebody else, that care and that kind of investment isn't being made anymore. And so the whole of society morally is breaking down.
Yeah, you honored your grandmother right to the end, and that is God's ideal of family, of care, of human life. I mean, we're to honor one another. I mean, we're our brother's keeper. I mean,
yeah,
and we can't hand it off to the nursing home and to strangers, and but the government wants us to do that, and they're making it harder to do it God's way.
Exactly. So, David, I have a couple of questions that people have submitted here. One is MAID covered by MSP? Good question. I bet you were paying for it. Or provincial health plans, or is it a private cost? Who is funding this?
Yeah, it's completely paid for by the provincial health plan in all provinces and territories. 100%. So we're paying for it.
Yeah, this is why it's very important to get new people elected into office. This is why you got to be beating the pavement, going out, door knocking, getting the people elected who are going to turn this around. It is key to what we're doing. Okay, do you have any data on who is requesting MAID? Example, gender, nationality, age, etc. Another good question.
Yeah, there is a there are reports with full statistics. I don't remember the age and gender breakdown myself. They do report on why people chose MAID, and they actually put down their reasons, and the reasons are not usually because of pain. Usually reasons of loss of dignity or feeling uncared for, which is a real tragedy, and that's a reflection on our society, not on on anything else. But there are statistics on that available. If you go to the Government of Canada, they do have full MAID statistics available, and I can certainly give you a link that you can put up later on.
Okay, yeah, we'll add it to the description if we can get that. And then, of course, I had these in weekly news updates as well, but now's a good time to talk about it. Very appropriate is that we have had multiple reports of veterans calling a helpline and asking for assistance, and wherein they have been offered MAID. And then, as well, the woman that has been severely vaccine injured, she's paralyzed. Is it a quadriplegic? And she's needing full care. I mean, when you hear this lady's story and understand the position she's in, and what did they do? They offered her MAID. And people who can't afford, who are disabled, like you say, and because of this mass immigration, housing is unaffordable. We've got people who are on a small amount of disability that the government is giving them per month, where at once upon a time they could barely make the rent and put food on the table. Now it's not affordable. So they're going to end up homeless and they can't pay their bills. And so they're so conflicted and looking at MAID as an option. This is what is happening in Canada. This is what the Trudeau government, Jagmeet Singh, the NDP, the Green Party, are doing in Canada. And your provincial leaders are supporting this because healthcare is provincial. The provincial governments have the ability to overturn this. Is that correct, David? Am I overspeaking if I say
it is a provincial matter. Under the Constitution, healthcare is fully provincial. The provinces, I mean, we can blame Trudeau, and we should, and he brought in federal law in the criminal code. He didn't have to. The Supreme Court opened the door. He could have closed it. He had his right to invoke the notwithstanding clause, to refuse to do that. He didn't. But even so, the provinces are the ones who implement it and pay for it. And every single province and territory is going along with it, even the ones that are so-called conservative. And they said, we're not going to call it MAID, we're going to call it murder. That would be a step in the right direction. No one's even doing that. Like, even the most conservative governments, provincial governments, they're just going along right. with it. They have their MAID group, the MAID organizations. They have information available on their websites, how you can access it. They have the hotlines. It's all available. It's all free of charge. It's all provincially funded. And this is insane. You know, at the provincial level, we can, like, things can be done to make this a lot more difficult to happen, but it's not.
No. And one thing we say this is provincially funded, but what it comes down to, it's taxpayer funded. This is coming out of our pack. Our taxpayers are not only paying to have our children mutilated, they're paying to have babies killed in the womb. We're paying to have people killed. And if you don't like the way your tax dollars are being wasted and used, then you need to get out and vote. And I know that there was a comment here that somebody had made in the Q&A about, Christians, we are the ones that defend life. We speak life and the sanctity of life from the time of conception until you're elderly. And, like my grandma, you die naturally. And we preserve that. We defend that. And it is a culture of death that, I talk about, what is it? In biblical times, there was sacrifices and to the altar of Baal. And Baal is a demonic figure in biblical times. And a lot of people have compared where Western nations are going to this being a symbolism of, what do you call that? Bowing down to Baal. With all of this death and division, and it's like I said, it's just so dark and so evil. And I don't want to leave on that note, though. I want people to understand that we are having wins. Watch the weekly update. I always start with wins, and it's because we are on the front line. That's David, myself, the David's organization, Action for Canada, and all of you amazing viewers. We are the ones that are going to bring about the kind of change that's needed. So, Terenzio, could you bring up David's book, please? And I'm so happy to hear that it's also in French. And because, like you said, David, what's going on in Quebec, there they are. We'll get them up on the webpage as well, just so people can see that they can order those. If you know people in Quebec, and if you're watching and today you're from Quebec, make sure that you're getting this into the hands of your elected officials. Quebec has real work to do. And it sounds like you do in Nova Scotia as well. David, if you guys are on the front line of harvesting organs, it sounds like your elected officials need a bit of a tune-up as well. So we will make sure that the books are available. Okay, so Trudeau's MAID Service, a euthanasia program for Canada. And David, can you just give us a little bit of an overview? I know it's a short, is it a book or a booklet? And just give us an overview of what it's about.
Yeah, it's very short. It's 35 pages. It's meant to be short, readable, shareable. It briefly gives you the background, the history of medical assistance and dying, euthanasia program. It tells you who is killable, who is a candidate for killing, who isn't. and how that's been expanded over the years and what the plans are for the future. Also in the back of the book, I draw some comparisons with what happened during the Nazi era with the Hitler's T4 euthanasia program. And also I have a little appendix in the back there where I've reprinted an article from the New York Times from 1933 where the Nazi euthanasia program was basically unveiled the preliminary plans for it. And when you read that little article from the New York Times, you're like, wow, that's just today, you know? So where they took it, Trudeau can certainly take our MEAD program in a similar direction. So yeah, right. I have that. We just put that out in the fifth edition. So I've been putting it out in new editions as the information changes. So we just published that in the fifth latest edition just a few weeks ago. And the French edition, just brand new French edition, never had one. But thanks to our friends at Campaign Life Quebec, we got that translated into French. So that's great.
Okay,
we also reduced the price on it a little bit. So we were able to get the price down a little bit.
You know, David, that's what I love about you as well is, you know a person's heart when they're really in it, when they're reducing the price of something. Action for Canada, Campaign Life Coalition are in need of people's support as far as donations are concerned, but we're not in this to make money. We're in this to get information into the hands of people in the best absolute way we can. And there's a cost to making this book. And so if you will please support David by buying that book, buy extra copies, get it to elected officials in your district. Maybe you want to have a campaign where you end up sending it to every single MLA or MPP and every MP in your riding. Whatever you need to do, help us get this information into the right hands. And that would be awesome and much appreciated.
I've given this book out to my mechanic. I've given it out to my optometrist. I've given it out to the postmaster at the post office. Everyone's like, oh, thanks, that's great. And they loved it. They passed it on because it opens people's eyes. And people, they want to know about this. They don't know anything. A lot of people don't know anything about this. They hear bits and pieces in the news. They don't understand. And this book is very accessible. It's not a preachy book. It's not hard. It's pretty factual, straightforward, and accessible. So I think anyone can benefit from it. And the more we get people reading and passing it around, the better it is, because people's eyes need to be opened.
They really do. And you know what? I agree so much with you. I love it that you shared that you're just sharing it with neighbors and people that you come across on a daily basis, because I think about our campaigns to go out to parents outside of schools and handing them our SOGI flyers or WinSex Ed flyers. And the reason I'm saying that is because the people that know are coming to our gatherings or, you know, following Campaign Life for us, they know about it. But it's those parents that need to know and have the warning red flag signs if their children start talking this way. And so for the average Canadian that doesn't know that their loved one could go and volunteer and get euthanized without them having any knowledge of it, they should be able to start hearing some red flags if a loved one starts talking about it. And so I appreciate you saying that, and that's a good idea. So order lots and get them out to your friends and neighbors and coworkers and help us out. I always say that knowledge is power, and when you have it, you got to use it, you got to share it. And so, David, is there anything else that you would like to cover before we wrap up the show today?
Yeah, just briefly, I just want to mention one of the big things that Campaign Life Coalition does every year is the March for Life in Ottawa.
Yes.
It is the largest protest demonstration of any kind that takes place year after year in Ottawa. There's nothing bigger that has taken place every year for the last 30 odd years. And we get tens of thousands of people out. This year it takes place on May 9th, Thursday, May 9th in Ottawa. And it's on Parliament Hill. We have a great lineup of speakers. We've got members of Parliament. We've got great people standing up for life. And it is a march. It started focusing on the right to life for the preborn, for babies in the womb. But since euthanasia has taken hold in Canada, we are using that to speak up for those who are elderly, who are disabled, and for those who have now mental illness. And I believe last year that lady you were mentioning, the quadriplegic who was propositioned with euthanasia, we had her speak at the event, if my memory serves me correctly. And so we have some really great speakers. This year we have Abby Johnson speaking, who used to work for Planned Parenthood in the States. She's going to be there. So, you know, you just come up to Ottawa May 9th, show up. That's all you need to do. It happens around noon.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so glad you brought that up. Every year, Action for Canada supports you in this, and we send out a message to our followers as well. Because, you know, we said when, I'm gonna just repeat it. When you turn your back on God, one of the first things to go is this little death squad starts coming in. And they make it a little nefarious, like, well, it's you know, it's not really a human being. And they start with softening people there, and it advances. And then it goes full-term abortion. And then in New York, I know that if your baby comes out of the womb and for some reason you're not happy with that, you can actually do that baby's life in. And it, there is no stop to this. And that's why euthanasia followed suit is because there is no limit. And this is killing from conception to natural death with our elderly. We've got to protect all life is valuable. And so, David, thank you so much for the work that you're doing at Campaign Life Coalition. I loved partnering with you at Citizen Go. Those petitions are fantastic. And when you moved over, we stayed in partnership. And I'm just really glad for that and the work that that you're doing.
Well, it's a pleasure to work with you. I've enjoyed everything we've done together. I wish we can do more. I hope we can in the future.
Absolutely.
And thank you to your supporters, Action for Canada, and all that they do. You're making a huge impact in this country. Things would be far, far worse if it were not for you.
Well, thank you, David. And we're not going to wait a year and a half. It goes by so fast right now. But if you have any updates or anything that you think is really noteworthy, please let me know and we'll have you back on the show as soon as possible.
I will do that. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. I know these are some really heavy topics, but you can see why we need to be talking about them. I keep using that word nefarious, very nefarious. Things are going on right behind our back, right under our noses, right there in front of us. I shouldn't say right behind our backs. It's becoming blatantly obvious that the Trudeau government and the NDP don't have a second thought about finding a way to justify killing Canadians. And so we've got to put a stop to this. And so I was really glad to have David on the show tonight. Please make sure that you share this Empower Hour and go to the description. We'll be sure to have the books listed there as well if you want to order those. All right. So our next week guest is going to be David Lindsay. You know that David's a repeat guest. David has been on the front line fighting so many different battles. We have partnership with David in many different things as far as fighting against the COVID-19 fraud, bringing awareness, helping to help Canadians understand what their rights were and how to assert those rights. David has just been instrumental in doing that. Also with David, we partnered and he had written one of the only books in Canada about filing criminal charges against other Canadian citizens. And so we got busy doing training courses and it was to help educate and train employees who had lost their jobs or who were being exploited by their employers and laying private informations, which were just going, bypassing and going straight forward and laying criminal charges against their employers. And that was, my goodness, about a year. Was it a year ago? I've got to remember, we've been doing so much, but it got to the courts. For instance, in Ontario, and the judges didn't want to make a decision. They started to adjourn those cases. But we're not done with it. We're still applying the pressure. There is going to be a point where judges are going to realize that they have an oath that employers did exploit and intimidate their employees into getting jabbed and the harms We don't know what the future holds, but we just wanted everybody to be in a position where they're ready to go. Same thing we're doing with the SOGI 123 notices of liability. We're serving school board trustees to prove that they were notified that the WinSexEd, SOGI, CERC, SERC, as I mentioned, in Manitoba, and Beyond Basics, I believe it's called in Nova Scotia, that these school board trustees, you need to help us out by serving the notices of liability, because there is measurable harm happening to children and somebody needs to pay for this. And so liability is coming. And so we want to have that evidence ready. Okay, so now back to David. That's, like I say, a lot of the work. And so he has been fighting a huge battle in Kelowna, British Columbia. The rotten mayor of Kelowna, the previous mayor and the current one, and the city council are trying to close him down and trying to get trumped up charges against him, and that he had assaulted, I believe, they said, a security guard. And if you saw David Menzies, you know, in that news report where he was trying to interview, was it the one of the ministers? Oh, I can see her face and I can't name her name right now. But anyways, as he turned around and that police officer had lined himself up so David would turn around and bump into him. And so they arrested David Menzies at that point. And a similar thing is happening with David. So he's been fighting this in the courts. He just won an amazing decision in the Kelowna courts for one of his best friends who was being charged was that assault as well? Anyways, it was the judge ruled in his friend's favor. And I was trying to get the link to it, but next week when David's on the show, we're going to be talking about it. So David is going to the court. I want to say it's April 12th, and he's going to find out if they're going to send him to jail for 2 years for the freedom of expression. I mean, this is serious, my friends, and it's extremely important that he wins. There was no assault. I showed you in the weekly news update for all of you who have hung in here with us on this, the weekly news update where that Muslim was holding on to one of the Ontario police officers, making contact with him. No charges. They were there harassing and intimidating Jewish people in their community. No charges, no arrests. And so everybody is not equal under the law in Canada. And so it's very important that we get behind David and support him. So please make sure that you join us next week. All right. Thank you. So I always close off with a couple of Bible verses. And I thought it was very appropriate based on the subject tonight to go to the Ten Commandments. What does the Bible say about this? Made the top 10. There's number 6. Thou shalt not kill. It's just that simple. Thou shalt not kill. All right. So the next Bible verse is from... Can you switch? There we go. All right. For James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I was just going to have the second half of that verse about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, but we needed to understand what righteousness is. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect. But our life is living to the best of our ability to serve God and honor him and honor his commandments. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. But if we've got unconfessed sin, if we have not repented for being silent in this nation while all of this was taking place because we just couldn't be bothered, I mean, it's simple enough. Just get on a knee and say, you know what, God, forgive me. Even if I unintentionally have participated in what's transpiring against our children, the wickedness, or by not defending our Christian heritage and allowing people to come in here and take over and bring their false gods and line our shelves and our gardens with them. All right, because Ten Commandments also says God's a jealous God and you should have no other gods before him. So there's reasons I want to talk to you about this. We need to get our hearts right with God so that when we pray, our prayers are heard and effectual. And even if you're a sinner and searching for God, you can just say, God, I need you. He'll speak to you. He'll send somebody to speak to you and comfort you and help you through that. All right. And the final verse, yeah, that's right, 3 tonight, was from 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is perfect to the prayer walk for revival coming up. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. There's got to be a turning from your evil ways. Being apathetic is evil. All right. Being a coward is evil. You've got to turn from those wicked ways and you got to be courageous. You got to speak truth. You got to get on the front line with us here. So if you seek my face and the Lord's face, not mine, and turn from your wicked ways, then God will hear you. Then he says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so that's why I appeal to you to take these steps, because I want God to hear us from a righteous place so that he will indeed hear our prayers and heal our land. And on the 7-week walk for revival, we were going 7 times around school boards. We were going around municipal halls and premiers and legislatures. And what did God do? God ended up using premiers to start passing parent policies. My friends, that is not just by chance. That's through prayer. So we're going into the next 7-week walk for revival filled with faith that can move a mountain. Okay. So you join us. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. God bless you and God bless Canada.
Turn the sins of evil people back on them.